been in this series talking about a more excellent way, and we've taken from the chapter and talking about though we speak with tongues of men and angels and have the gift of prophecy and sell all that we have and give it to the poor. Unless we have love in our hearts, it profit us nothing. We become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is love. Everybody shout love.
Love.
The greatest of these is love. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, not your husband or your wife, somebody else, and tell them, hey, I love you. Hey, I love you. I'm going to put a little bit different twist on this today. I'm going to ask you today, do you want Jesus to know you? Do you want Jesus to know you? I know I've preached before about, does the devil know who you are? You know? Power against the devil. Does the devil know who you are? Well, I want to ask you a question. Does Jesus know who you are? We said, well, Jesus knows everybody. But does he know you? Does he know you? Do you know him? How important is it in your life to say, I have a real relationship with God? It's not just some idea. It's not a Sunday morning event. But it's an intimacy with God that's world-changing. World-changing. So ask yourself this question. Am I changing anybody's life that I'm around? Or is my relationship with God all about me? Is it all about me? See, Jesus called us to be like him. He was a servant leader. And he loved people. That was his whole deal. Jesus loved people. He loved people so much that he gave his life on the cross. And it wasn't an easy task, but we know that because in the garden he said, Lord, if it be so, let this cup pass from me. If there was another way that I could do this, that would be awesome, God. But since there's not, I'm willing to lay down my life so that all of you have life and have it more abundantly. And that's the kind of Jesus that we serve, and that's the kind of Jesus he wants us to be. Thank you, Reagan. You do a marvelous job. Thank you. Give Reagan a hand. You know, it's interesting, and Jesus asking Peter, he said, do you love me? Three times he asked him this question. Do you love me, Peter? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, if you love me, then feed my sheep. The ESV changes the translation a little bit, and he said, the second time he says, Peter, do you love me? And the Lord, he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, well, then tend my sheep. And then the third time he says, Peter, do you love me? And by this time, Peter's kind of getting aggravated. He's like, Lord, come on. You've already asked me this three times. You know that I love you. You know that. Jesus replies one more time, and it's pretty interesting in Scripture that he's done this three times. I think he's trying to give us a message. Yes, then feed my sheep. If you really love me, Peter, then I'm going to give you a mandate. I'm going to give you a charge to go feed my sheep. If you love me, you will love the people that I love. You will take care of the people that I died for. Peter, if you really love me, I'm setting you up so that you can be successful. Come on, how many know that the Lord sets us up to be successful? He doesn't set us up to fail. He sets us up to be successful. God doesn't want you to fail. And so he's asking Peter this pointed question because he wants Peter to understand that in a few minutes I'm going to say, hey, Peter, upon this rock I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to give you some keys that nobody else is going to have. But you've got to have the message first that you really love me. And that you will love the people I love. Now, the Bible doesn't say this. I'm saying this. I wonder if Peter would have said, well, I mean, what does that mean, God? I mean, what are you trying to say? He might have said, I think I'm going to give somebody else those keys. I mean, what you going to do for me, God? If I love you, then what's in it for me? It wasn't about him. He said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. Take care of the people that I love. I read a story of a man who was struck by lightning and died and went to heaven, was talking with Jesus. Jesus never asked the man, said, did you give all your money away to feed the poor? He didn't ask him about any of his great things that he did. He asked him, he said, did you learn how to love? And the man answered, no. And he gave him another chance at life so that he could come back and learn how to love people. Learn how to love. I think we need to keep asking ourselves the question, have I learned how to love people? Have I learned how to love people? We have a responsibility to love no matter what's going on in our life. Now, all of us in here today, I'm not going to ask you if you've been. I'm going to ask you if you've never, ever in your entire life had your feelings hurt or been hurt by someone, then come up here because I need you to preach. Because I have. I mean, I've had my feelings hurt. I've had people say things against me. I've had people say things that were true that hurt my feelings. And I've had people say things that wasn't true that hurt my feelings. We've all had situations in our life where we felt like we were being attacked or we were being mistreated or we were being done wrong. But when we learn how to love, love rules. When we learn how to love, when people hurt our feelings, we have the ability to love them anyway. When we love like Jesus loves, we have the ability to look beyond their faults, look beyond their shortcomings, and say, hey, I'm going to love you anyway. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt because someone's spoken truth to us, and we really need to hear it so we can change. But if we don't have a heart of love, we reject that rebuke, trying to protect ourselves and protect our feelings. It's hard to be loved. Proverbs 17 and 9 said, whoever covers an offense seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. But whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. So when your phone rings and that dear brother or sister says, hey, I just want to call you and let you know that I saw so-and-so and we just need to pray for them. You better discern that spirit. The question you need to ask them is this, have you already prayed for them? Because if you're not on your knees praying right now when you call me, you're trying to separate friendships. Love says, I'm going to find a place and I'm going to seek God and I'm going to pray for those who have wounded me, those who have hurt me, or those who I've seen fallen. I'm going to have a love that goes beyond that and covers. 1 Peter 4 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And I read that scripture and I thought, you know what? Some people take offense to the fact and say, oh, you're just covering their sins. No, I'm loving them to Christ. Hello, anybody without sin, cast the first stone. But if we love them and we love them back into the throne room of God, into the place of God, and we continue to love earnestly, we cover their sin. Show hospitality to the one without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. If you have a gift, and we've talked about this for the last 2 weeks, if you have a gift of prophecy, if you have a gift of tongues, or if you have a gift of healing, or you have a gift of laying on hands, or whatever it might be, whatever that gift is, if you're using that gift to increase and to love people, then that gift is being stewarded correctly. But if you're using that gift, if you have that gift and you don't love people, that gift is to no purpose. Whosoever speaks is one who speaks as the oracles of God, and whosoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. The only way I can serve is by God's supply. In order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belonging the glory and dominion forever and forever. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. No matter what the miraculous things that you've done, no matter what good you've done, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And through that, we must never lose sight of our priority. What is the priority? Why has God placed a gift in your life? He's placed that in your life so that you can use it to bring someone else to the knowledge and the understanding and the grace of our Lord and Savior. Jesus warned us that in the last days, let me back up, all the signs and wonders and gifts in the world do not prove that you're connected to the heart of God. I want to say that again. All the miracles, signs, and wonders does not prove that you're connected to the heart of God. And I won't spend a long time on this, but God is not an Indian giver. So he gives you a gift, he doesn't take your gift back. So you may be gifted, but you doesn't mean you're glorified. You may have a gift, and God's not going to take that gift from you, but it doesn't mean you're in right standing with God just because you have a gift. And so many times we think, if I have a gift, that means I've got have God's approval. No, you have God's grace. Come on, somebody clap your hands to the Lord, because that's a good word right there. Jesus warned us that in the last days, people will come to him saying, didn't we do amazing things, God? Did we cast out devils in your name? Did we prophesy in your name? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. Well, I thought Jesus knows everybody, but he's talking about that intimate relationship, that heart connection. He said, I know who you are, but I don't know who you are. If you don't love people, then that separates you from the heart of God. Because God's heart is for us. What a tragedy if we spent our whole life doing what was right, doing all the right things, going to church, doing this, doing that, all the right programs, all the right things, saying all the right things, looking the right way, doing all of those things, and at the end, not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And then all of our gifts and all of the things that we had were to no avail. It had no purpose if he says, I never knew you. John 13:35 said, by this all people shall know that you're my disciples. If you have great gifts and you do great things and you lay hands on the sick and miracles take place, by this you'll know they're my disciples. Well, that's not what he said. He said, you're going to know they're my disciples because of their love for one another. Their love for one another. Well, it's quiet in here today. I'm just to get into where the rubber meets the road right here. I'm going to talk about receiving love. Everybody say, receiving love. Many people have not learned how to love because they have not learned how to receive love. Well, they can talk about love. They can describe love to some degree. They can even say they love, but they don't know how to love because they don't know how to receive love. Ecclesiastes 11 said, cast your bread upon the waters, and you will find it after many days. Giving a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth if the clouds are full of rain. They empty themselves out on the earth. And if the tree falls to the south, north, or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones of the womb of the woman and with the child, so you do not know the work that God who makes everything, the God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, listen to this, and in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. I'm just going to read to you today something that's, you know, right out, I just found this in the commentary, and I don't normally do this, but I'm just going to read straight out of the commentary, okay? Give freely, though it may seem thrown like you're throwing it away or it's lost. Give to many. Excuse not thyself with the good thou hast done, for the good thou hast further to do. Don't say, I've already done my good. I was good yesterday, so I don't have to be good today. I loved my wife yesterday, so I gave roses yesterday, so I don't have to say I love you today. Don't excuse the good you did yesterday for what lies in front of you. It is not lost, but it is laid out We have reason to expect evil, for we were born into trouble. I'm going to read that again. We have reason to expect evil, for we were born into trouble. It is wisdom to do good in the daily of prosperity. Riches cannot profit us if we do not benefit others. It didn't say riches can't profit us. It said your riches can't profit you if you don't do good to others. How many of you know that's got many riches but has no heart for people? What is it prospering them? What is it prospering them if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? What does it prosper you if you get everything in the world but you have no outlet of loving others? Every man must labor to be a blessing to that place where the providence of God casts him. Wherever we are, we may find good work to do. Now listen to this. If we have but hearts to do it. If we have but hearts to do it. If we magnify every little difficulty, start objections, fancy hardship, we shall never go on, much less go through with our work. If we focus upon the negative, on the hardships of life, on the people who hurt us, we have stopped our journey of moving forward. We have created a grave, so to speak, a place where all of our good lies dead and dormant because of our heart. So we stop. When the clouds of the tribulation, winds and clouds of tribulation are in God's hands, designed to try us. How many's going through a trial right now? Just be honest. Raise your hand. I'm going through a situation. I need God to do something supernatural in. That's cool. About only a third of y'all, man. The rest of y'all are blessed above measure. Listen, I want to preach to you that raised your hand. You ought to be happy that God loves you so much He trusted you with the trial that you're in. He's saying, I love you enough to grow you. I love you enough to put you in a situation where you can love with unconditional love. God's work shall agree with His word. Everybody said amen. Amen. Whether we see it or not, everybody say amen. Amen. That we may well trust God to provide for us without being anxious or worrying about tomorrow. God quiets our spirit and we just believe. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season and in God's timing you shall reap if you faint not. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm in the middle of this thing of loving somebody, and I'm going to keep on loving them. I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to pursue love, and I'm not letting anybody knock me off track. I'm staying on course. I'm staying on course. God is my refuge. He's my strength. He's my healer. He's my provider. Everything that I have, everything that I will be, all that I am is in God, and I am dependent upon Him, and I'm good with that. And I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep loving. We have reason to expect evil, for we are born into trouble. The Bible says that every man is born of woman in a few days and full of trouble. So we come into this world with a gift called the gift of suspicion. Everyone is guilty until proven innocent or trusted or, you know. We go around with this kind of idea like, hey, I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to love you. I'm not, until you prove yourself. Let me tell you something. Before I came back to God after being raised in church, I got real involved in the drug world and was out there. And so, you know, when you get involved in the drug world, you don't trust nobody, right? You don't trust anybody. You don't trust the cops because they're going to take you to jail. You don't trust the drug dealers because they're going to shoot you. You don't trust nobody. You start building this distrust for everything. You sleep with a gun. You travel with a gun. People come in your life. They try to befriend you and you're like, what you up to? What you got on the horizon? What's your agenda? And you live this life of distrust for people and things. So when I came back to God, you know what I did? Even though God had filled my heart with his love, even though God had done amazing things in my life, I was still having this same fear. I didn't trust pastors. I didn't trust fellow brothers. When I became a pastor, I didn't trust church people. I didn't trust anybody because I had this fear inside of me. And God had to really just knock me down. And when I came to the realization a couple years into this that, you know what, I'm not getting anywhere like this because I'm keeping everybody in my life at bay. You know, and everybody would come into my life and God would send mentors in my life and I would feel like I had to test them to see if they were trustworthy. Like, well, what's your agenda? What you want from me? We just want to love you and help you. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You got an agenda. You want something I've got, or you got a plan, or you're working an angle. And so I had this whole distrust thing. And so what I did was I was pushing everything that God sent me away from me. Are y'all with me today? Everything God was sending my life, I would push it away. Every person God was sending my life, I'd push it away. And I would size those things up. And now they never knew that because, you know, I was really good at it. I'd be like, oh, hi. Yeah. What's going on? I don't believe you. Sure. Right. And then my little mind would be going, I know none of y'all's ever done that. I just did that. I'm the only person in the room that's ever done that, right? So we build walls of protection, but in really what we're doing to protect ourselves, we're building walls that confine us. Those walls limit us from doing the perfect will of God in our life. And here's the deal. Once you came to Jesus and you gave him your heart, you became the promise of God. Actually, that's not even true. Before you came to Jesus, you were the promise of God. But when you come to Jesus, you become engaged in his promises and activate those promises. When you were born, you were the promise of God. But when you come to him and you give him your heart, then something supernatural happens or should happen in your life that it engages you. I'm not the only minister in the house today. We're all ministers in the house, and we all have purpose to do something for God. But when we feel this disqualified, or we feel that someone has agenda, or we feel these things in our life, we build walls. You know, the thing about a dam is the dam doesn't just hold up the water that's on this side. It keeps the water out. A wall doesn't just keep things contained and protected. It keeps what's inside of us from flowing out. And so we don't love knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. We love based on what's in it for me. How will it help me? Do I trust you? So we build walls and we limit ourselves. For us to love freely, we must let others love us. You must let people love you. You must let people speak into your life. You must let people care about you. You must let people put their arm around you. You must let people comfort you. I know people that are amazing people. They have all the right answers, but they let nobody in their life. And so therefore, they're isolated. And after they do all of these great things, they feel alone. Because they have all the knowledge, they have all the understanding, but what they haven't done is tore down the walls in their life to let people in that can really influence their life. In most every relationships, we find difficulty. We find difficulty, and these difficulties that we have to deal with sometimes are the root of bitterness for something that's happened that's not even present at the moment. Now, I'm just going to talk about marriage for a minute, but I'm really talking about relationships in general. In our relationships, we come into a relationship, and because we've been burned or hurt before, we hold the person that's coming into our life, that God sent into our life to be amazing in our life, we hold them at arm's length. because we're trying to protect, because of some bitterness that happened, some hurt that happened to us that's created a seed of bitterness in our life that's keeping us from the promise that God is blessing us with. And most people will say, and, you know, in relationships, I deal with relationships just about every day, and most people, I will tell, you need to forgive them. And 9 times out of 10, most people say, I've already forgiven them. I just don't trust them. Come on. I forgive them, but I just don't trust them. Well, let me tell you something. I want to say this as nice as I can. You're lying to yourself. You're forgiving them with your mouth, but your heart is still saying, I wish I had some blocks in here. Let me just use some people. Come here, give me about 5 or 6 guys. Come on, you guys up here. Hurry, hustle, run, come on. Yes, indeed. Come on, brother, come on. So y'all get up here with me. So what we do is, and these are not people, these are blocks. Yeah, I like this one. You come on up here, I need some more blocks. Look, that's a big block right there. Come on, I need a smaller block right here. And we're getting a wall of protection around us. We're getting a wall. And Graham, I want you to come love me right now, Graham. Just come up here, and I want you to show some love to me. Just show some love. Just try to reach in and love me. You see the wall that's built here around me? I've got things around me trying to that I'm protecting because I'm not sure that Graham's love is for real. And so I've built all this hedge around me. These are my soldiers. These are my army. But what I'm really doing is isolating myself from the person that God has sent in my life to change me. So I'm captivated. I'm in a prison. My help is there, but and God sent that help. I've been in my prison saying, God, I need your help. God, send me somebody. God, help me. And God's saying, I'm sending, but there's too many walls around you. So we have to remove the walls of bitterness out of our life. We have to remove the past hurt. We have to move those things, thank you guys, so that we can get, so the one that God is sending can love us. And I'm just going to use Guy because he's the biggest block up here. You know, Guy may have hurt me when I was younger, or there may have been something that would have offended me, but if I keep him in my life is that bitterness and don't forgive, then I can't love the people that God is sending. And I won't trust. You say, what are you not trusting? I'm not trusting God that he is well able. I'm not trusting God that he's already sending somebody my way. I'm not trusting God with my life. I say it with my mouth, but in my heart, I'm not trusting. Come on, I'm speaking to a bunch of people here today. I'm not just speaking to one somebody in this house today, because all of us have had this battle either now or in our lives where we have had bitterness and hurt in our life and we've let those walls build up around us, and God so wants to love you. God so wants to do a miracle in your life, but you got to tear down those walls and you got to forgive and you got to say, God, I'm going to trust you, and because I trust you, I'm going to trust people because you're sending me people. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Okay, here's a little redneck in me. How many of you guys had four-wheel drives either now or when you was younger? Like to go out mudding, you know, like go out in the mud. You know, I've never been in a four-wheeling, get out in the mud, and got stuck, so stuck that my tires wouldn't spin. The motor was running, the tires were turning, but I wasn't going anywhere. You know what I was doing? I was slinging mud everywhere, but I wasn't going anywhere. You know what bitterness is? Bitterness is being stuck in a mud hole where you're slinging mud everywhere, but you're not going anywhere in life. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. You got to let somebody come pull you out, man. You got to say, hey, look, I know that's a Ford and I drive a Chevy and my Chevy's better than your Ford, but I need you to pull me out, Ford, dude. Come on, how many like that little commercial that's going on TV right now and that guy backs up with that little gator and pulls that big truck out. Oh, come on, little gator. You might be a little guy. You may not look like a whole lot. You may not be a big highfalutin somebody. You might be a nobody from nowhere. But if you can hook to me and pull me out of this place I'm at, I'm going to trust you with my life. Come on, somebody. God sent you into my life to help me. Somebody say, that's good right there. Just get it out of your life. It's been in your heart too long. You got walls that God wants to tear down. You got things in your life, Reagan, you can come. You got things in your life that's stopping the flow of God's Spirit in your life. You've dammed up the flow of love in your life over something that's so insignificant. You say, well, Pastor, it's not insignificant. It's real. I know it's real. But it's significant in the eyes of eternity. It's insignificant in the big scheme of things. And I understand that sometimes, you know, like Stephanie Super said, when you have to go through some mourning sometimes. And you have to break that down. And I get that. But you can't stay there forever. At some point along the way, you gotta raise the flag and say, this is over. I'm done with this. Because here's the deal, let me go back to my pickup truck. If you stay in that hole and you keep on spinning your tires and you keep on slinging mud, eventually you're just going to be seeing the same thing deeper, 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 deeper. Hopeless. And your hope hopelessness increases. Your faith diminishes. Your joy diminishes. Your peace diminishes, and Satan is stealing from you everything that God has freely given to you because you won't let something help you. So we got to learn to love. You see, the answer to loving, truly loving, is letting other people love you. Here's what happens when you start letting other people love you. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Somebody say that's the key that unlocks the door. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. When I'm holding someone in contempt of the things they've done to me, it's not them that I'm hurting, it's me that I'm hurting. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. The Lord wants to hear our prayers and answer our prayers, and He wants to come to where we are. But He's told us in His Word that you've got to forgive. You've got to let it go. You've got to put the past behind you. You've got to say sometimes to your soul, soul, take courage. Put your faith in God. Put your hope in the Lord. Put your trust in the one who is well able. Quit looking to your own abilities or inabilities. I'm reminded of the story of the woman at the well. She went to the well at the most awkward time of day. And it wasn't because that no one would give her water. It wasn't because that she wasn't a citizen. Wasn't because she didn't have a right. She wasn't stealing. But she let other people's opinion of her determine who she was. Yes, she had made mistakes. Yes, she had many husbands. Yes, she had done things wrong. But she let their opinion determine her future. And so she hid behind the cloak. And she hid and said, I'm not worthy, until Jesus came into her life. I don't know if it happened just like this, but if I can use my imagination for just a little bit this morning. Can you imagine Jeff when she came to the well that day and Jesus was sitting there? She probably had one of those, oh no, moments. Oh, I come at this time of day because nobody's here. I come at this time of day because it's easier for me. I don't have to deal with my past. I don't have to confront my failures. I come at this time of the day because I find solitude here and I find safety here. When no one else is around, I've isolated myself. What is this guy doing here? It's the middle of the day. It's the heat of the day. What is he doing here? But he was the answer. For the very thing that she needed. And he was the answer. And he came into her life and he had to tear down some walls. You know how he tore down those walls? He first dealt with her past. He asked her a few questions, you know. What about your husband? Well, I don't have one. He goes, you know, you're right. You don't have one. And the man you live with is not your husband, and you've had five, and I get it. But that's your past, baby. That's your past, honey. That's your yesterday. Because I come into your life today, if you'll trust me, and we'll tear down. To heal you, to bring joy into your life, to bring peace in your life. Somebody here today needs to hear what I'm saying. Your past has nothing to do with your future. Your yesterday is simply that, your yesterday. He said, nothing shall separate me. Things present. Nor things to come, nor life, nor death, nor principalities, nothing separate me from the love of God. And God, there's no past. Bring me that mic, please. In the kingdom of God, by the way, that's not the devil. That's a bad mic. Just in case some of you are spiritual thinking it was the devil. Redemption is standing at the door of your life. And the most excellent way you can go is to love and to be loved. It will open the doors of opportunity in your life that you've never ever dreamed of, or you've never imagined. He'll give you hope that you thought you never would have. It's when you love like he loves and you receive his love in your life. Here's the thing. It's time to open your heart to God and say, I'm ready, God. I'm ready. Over the last few years, something amazing has happened. Something supernatural has happened in my life. There's been a freedom in my life like never before. But I'm going to tell you, that freedom didn't come until I let those walls fall. And I quit holding people in contempt. And I quit saying, hey, listen, you have an agenda. I'm scared of you. I'm afraid of you. And I started saying, you know what? I don't have anything to be afraid of. For whatever reason God sent you in my life, it's going to be good. For whatever thing that happened in my life, it's going to be good. And God's got you in my life for purpose. I'm going to let that love flow. I'm going to let that happen in my life. And there's freedom in that. So you come to the well and you're holding on to yesterday and you're saying, you know, I'm not good enough. Listen, God's saying to you, you're more than enough. You're more than enough. I want to love you. And I want you to be loved. Let's bow our heads all over this building today.